MDRadioMD.com.
He's a cardiologist. He's a chef. He's America's culinary interventionalist. It's time for Code Delicious with Dr. Michael Fenster.
Hello, Food Nation, Healthy Nation. Are you ready for salubrious and scrumptious all together in one tasty treat? I know you are, and I know that you know. That means, once again, it is time for Code Delicious. And today, I want to share some gut feelings. You know, long ago, I heard that the way to someone's heart was through their stomach. And I always thought that was a figure of speech. Now, it turns out that it may be much more literal than I originally surmised. In my most recent book, The Fallacy of the Calorie, Why the Modern Western Diet is Killing Us and How to Stop It, I detail the relationship between the modern Western diet and its correlation to the modern disabilities and diseases that we suffer as a consequence of resulting inflammation. One of the connections that I discuss in the book center around the gut microbiome. Now, recent research has identified possible mechanisms by which this may occur. And in a really fascinating twist on what we assumed for decades and decades was written in stone, the implications of this new research is that it may not be the cholesterol level per se, or strictly genetics, that correlate to cardiovascular disease risk, but that factors such as the cholesterol involvement may only occur after the gut microbiome suffers abnormalities and induces detrimental changes. Now, currently, the story goes something like this. There's an excess of bad cholesterol, which gets forced from the blood into the walls of the artery. This incites inflammation and a subsequent series of clots that rupture, then heal, rupture, heal, rupture, and heal. These essentially are forming an onion slice in reverse. It's encroaching on the hole in the middle from the outside in until that last clot completely occludes the lumen of the artery, and the resulting obstruction of blood flow causes a heart attack, a stroke, limb, or organ ischemia. Now, essential to the clot forming is the activation of that blood element responsible for clots, the platelet. Platelet hyperreactivity, or the condition in which these platelets are much more likely to form clots, is a hallmark of the pro-inflammatory state of so many of the modern diseases and disabilities that we currently suffer from, like diabetes, for example. Also associated with these conditions are a number of abnormalities of the gut microbiome. Now, the gut microbiome is that collection of roughly 100 trillion bacteria. Now remember, we're composed of only roughly 10 trillion human cells, so they outnumber us 10 to 1. Those 100 trillion bacteria have co-evolved with us since the dawn of time to co-metabolize every single thing we consume. They form that razor-thin microscopic interface that regulates the interplay between our environment and our genetics. The genome that patrols the border between what we choose to consume every day, which, by the way, is our most intimate interaction with our environment, is not ours, it's theirs. The very first transformation of the food we eat begins not with ourselves, but with our gut microbiome. Now, evidence has accumulated within the last only 10 years or so, the last decade, that changes in our diet can induce abrupt changes in the composition of our gut microbiome. These changes affect both the number and the types of bacteria that we harbor. Now, if your internal landscape bears a striking resemblance to the plains of Mordor, it is unlikely a place to find the equivalent of prize-winning orchids. And thinking that you can just take probiotics every day to solve the problem is like throwing acorns into the Arctic and then wondering why the oaks don't grow. The new experimental data implicates products that are produced by certain bacteria after our internal neighborhood goes completely to pot. These dark minions of the gut microbiome manufacture byproducts like TMA, trimethylamine. These products function as instigators of inflammation after they undergo host modification by our liver to form compounds like TMAO, also known as trimethylamine N-oxide. Now, TMAO only comes about if there is the proper combination of opportunity and agent. The agents are created by the environment we create when we consume the typical foodstuffs found in the modern Western diet. Within this toxic state, the opportunity for these now numerous bacteria to wreak havoc and mayhem becomes omnipresent in the face of such disastrous dietary choices. One of the consequences of these tiny terrors is to disrupt the normal pathways of certain molecules like cholesterol. This is one of the putative links that connect abnormalities in the gut microbiome, and by implication the quality of the food we choose to consume, to the observed cholesterol abnormalities and inflammation that are at the heart of atherosclerosis and cardiovascular disease. Certain diets produce certain bacteria and thus gut microbiomes that are unique to them. These certain bacteria in the presence of specific foods affect both atherosclerosis development and regulation of whole body cholesterol and sterol metabolism. Folks, it takes two to tango. The development of this pathology, this disease state, is clearly becoming one that is more than one. It is a meta-organismal pathway. The association between plasma levels of TMAO and both the extent of coronary atherosclerotic plaque burden and cardiovascular disease risk has already been observed in multiple distinct clinical studies. TMAO is only produced in the presence of certain bacteria in the gut. The blood levels correlate to the ingestion of certain types of food. It's worth repeating here that dietary cholesterol has little to nothing to do with what blood cholesterol levels are, and the ingestion of dietary cholesterol has shown little to no influence on cardiovascular endpoints. Dietary guidelines, after a half century of misdirection, have finally acknowledged the fact and changed course by eliminating recommendations towards setting arbitrary limits on the cholesterol consumed in foods. It is worth re-emphasizing here that gut microbiome abnormalities can be reflected in high blood levels of TMAO. These do correlate with blood cholesterol abnormalities, inflammation, cardiovascular risk, and abnormalities of glucose metabolism associated with the development of diseases like diabetes. Now, recent animal studies have shown that the suppression of TMAO production simply through diet results in a significant reduction in atherosclerotic burden. Absolutely amazing. These changes occurred without any corresponding change in blood lipid levels. Let me repeat that. By simply changing the diet and suppressing the production of these gut bacterial products like TMAO, there was a significant reduction in blockages in the arteries, but the blood lipid levels, the cholesterol levels, did not change one iota. And an even more recent study has uncovered another link in the chain that binds what we choose to eat, our gut microbiome, and the development, or not, of atherosclerosis and cardiovascular disease. It turns out that the compound TMAO can directly agitate platelets. Agitated or hyperreactive platelets lead to clot formation. That is the sine qua non of atherosclerosis and cardiovascular disease. In this way, an altered gut microbiome directly pulls the tail of the tiger on our immune system and goads it into overreaction. The result is that we suffer from these disabilities and diseases associated with the consumption of the modern Western diet that have as their common root a chronic, continuous, pro-inflammatory milieu. Our gut microbiome is our internal garden. What you eat determines not what you are, but what quality and quantity of bacteria you sow. These gut bacteria will flourish or famish depending on what you feed them. They, in turn, will determine whether you thrive and survive or decay into disability. There's a reason not to farm in Chernobyl despite cheap land. What is sown is what will be reaped. Choose wisely. I'm Dr. Mike, and that's a diagnosis.